are blessed today to hear from our worship pastor, Steve Spori. Steve is going to share, I've asked him to share really the stuff that God put on his heart. And he's going to really speak about the culture of East River, the things that God called us, things that are, we believe, unique to this place. So take it away, Steve, if you would.
Amen, amen, amen. How's everybody doing tonight? We're doing good? Just forgive me, I have no idea what to do with my hands when I'm up here. I said last service, I'm just going to start preaching, and just if I start to do this, it's just a natural thing, and if I just kind of don't really know what I'm doing, start meandering aimlessly, that's all right. God takes care of everything, which is fantastic. Let me just say first and foremost, I'm so blessed to be the worship leader here. I'm just so blessed. Every day I wake up, I'm like, God, you're so good. You're so good to allow me to just be in front and lead a group of spirit-filled folks who just love the Lord, who seek His presence. And that's what we do here. We seek His presence. We want to just bask in the presence of God. We want to just invite the Holy Spirit to just take over. You know, that's the reason I worship the way that I do. I jump around a lot, and it just happens. I've said that it's a lot easier now that all my chains are gone. It's just easier to jump around, you know. And I know that, you know, I do weird things, and I tried to control it once, and it's just like, you know what? I don't care. I'll be undignified, like David, right? Like David, I don't care. Because it really doesn't matter what you think. It matters what my heart says to the Lord. And the Lord's always seeking my heart to say, hey, it's about me, right, Steve? It's about me, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. And I have to seek my heart and go, yes, it is. And that's what worship's about. It's about our heart. It's about our heart towards the Lord. I just want to give you a little background about me. Some of you know a little bit about me, but I'll tell you a little bit more. Not for a long time, though. But it sets a course for what I'm going to talk about. I spent a majority of my youth and my early adult life, all of my 20s, until the age of 31, as a drug addict, as an alcoholic, as a not-so-great guy. I thought it was great. But I was high, so it really doesn't count. You know, I had a love affair with a lot of things of the world, cocaine and just anything I could get my hands on. And, you know, it culminated with me basically alone in a room with a gun. And to be honest, that's where I got to. I had no joy left in my life. And, you know, I decided, or the Lord decided, to basically one day as I was driving to work say, have you had enough? Have I had enough? And I just cried, you know, just broke me. And I'm driving to work. I mean, like, I feel like I got hit in the head with a 2x4. So I was lucky enough to have the chance to go to rehab. And while I was there, I think it was like night two or three, after I detoxed and gone through that nasty stuff, I was just in my room, and I just fell on my knees and said the words, Jesus, please. Jesus, please. And when I said it, it was like something just came alive inside of me. So I sat there for hours, just Jesus, please. Because I didn't know how to pray. I knew how to pray to, oh, Lord, please don't let the police officer pull me over. I knew that prayer well, yeah, and he usually failed at that one, too. Palova. Usually failed at that one, but man, something just came alive inside me, and I knew at that moment that God had a plan for me, and that I was fighting a battle that I could not win by myself. I fought a battle. I mean, I'm just throwing punches in the dark, trying to hit something. And every once in a while, I'd hit myself, you know, and I'd knock myself out more than once. And I allow God to take over and fight the battle for me. right? And a weird thing happened. God can kick some booty. He really can. If allowed, man, God will take control. God will show the enemy what's up. And that's what happened in my life. God showed the enemy what is up. He said, keep your hands off my kid. And it's been an amazing thing. 6 years ago, I came to this church. My wife and I were searching for a church. We'd been searching for like a year. I'd planted another church a while back completely ran that into the ground. And God just opened up a door here. And I met Pastor and Pam, and I knew from the moment I spoke to him that, like, oh my goodness, this is a man that can disciple me. And that's what I long for, discipleship. And I did a smart thing and listened to what he had to say. More experience than I could ever have. And that's made all the difference in my life, which has been a blessing beyond belief. So I allowed God to fight my battle. And it reminds me of a story in the Bible in 2 Chronicles about Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat has armies that are coming against him. Massive armies. And in the word it says he is scared. He is scared. And he would be. Lord? So the alarms were ringing and the enemy's coming. So he was scared. I mean, we would all be scared. We got armies coming against us. Jehoshaphat's a smart man. He calls for a fast. And he's not calling for a fast because he wants people to be hungry or wants to starve people. It's not why we fast. We fast because we want to do away with the things of the world at that moment, and we want to focus on what God has to say. We want to give God that space to speak to us by denying ourselves kind of the outside influence. So during this time of fasting and prayer, the son of Zechariah gets a word from the Lord. As it happens, if we seek the Lord speaks. Kind of a crazy thing. So I can imagine he was like, I got a word. Okay, what's the word? It says, do not be afraid, for the battle's the Lord's. It's not your battle. I can imagine that was something that was like, all right. You know, I don't have to worry. So it's not my battle. I don't have to be afraid. I just said I was scared. Now the Lord spoke and said, you know what? I got this. So they stood up, and it says in the word that they praised the Lord with loud voices, which makes me happy. I love to praise the Lord with a loud voice. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And this church loves it, loves it, loves it, loves it. In the morning, Jehoshaphat got up, and instead of gathering his army together and sending his army out, he says, you know what? I need singers. I'm going to send singers out before the army, which is, you know, must have been pretty big, burly singers, you know, much like myself. Just, you want some enemy? But he sent them out, and they, yeah, body by enchilada. Right on, right on. So he sends the singers out, and they're singing, you know, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Okay, so we give thanks to the Lord. Why do we do that? Because his love endures forever. They praise the attributes of God. And there is a lesson in there that he praised. When they did that through the trust and worship, God revealed himself to them. God gave them courage, gave them victory. And when he sent them out, the Lord destroyed the enemy. By the time the army got there, there was just decimated troops. And it says that there was so much plunder or so much blessing, it took them 3 days to gather it all. Like, 3 days? You have an army of people. And it took 3 days to carry everything, all the spoils of war, what I like to call the blessings. So they return to Jerusalem in triumph, and they go to the temple, and they plug their guitars in, and they worship. That's how I see it in my head. They plug guitars. It says they played with stringed instruments, so they plug guitars in, and trumpets. liars. Right? And they worshiped the Lord, and they worshiped him because he's good. And they worshiped him for what he had done. And the best part about this, in 2 Chronicles 29, it says, "The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace." He gave them peace on all sides. So we seek God. He speaks. He moves. We're blessed. And he gives us peace. And because of that, we worship him. We give God praise by acknowledging God for who he is, and we give him thanks for what he's done. 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." See, we're to give thanks, and we're to give God worship in all circumstance. Doesn't matter if the enemy is pounding you. We give God glory, not for our circumstance, but in our circumstance, whatever that is. We've all been in a position that Jehoshaphat's been, where the enemy is attacking on all sides and just having his way. It's like, I can't handle this. I'm just getting beat up. We say, "God, fight this battle for me." He speaks, he moves, and we're given peace in his time. When we turn our attention towards God, our whole outlook changes and God reveals his character to us. He reveals who he is, and we respond to that. And that's what we do in worship. We respond to God. We respond, and we should always respond in worship. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extravagant submission. Pastor Carlos likes to say that it is worth-ship. Worth-ship. God is worthy. He is worthy of all of our attention, all of our adoration, all of our praise, all of it. We worship him in three ways. We worship him in an upward fashion, an inward fashion, and an outward fashion. The upward fashion is what we just did. Upward fashion is us gathered, or not gathered, but if you're worshiping upward, kneeling before him, singing praise to him, lifting hands. Inward worship is the one that scares me. Inward worship is what we do when no one's watching. Inward worship is our thought process. Inward worship is what we look at on the internet. Inward worship is the movies we choose to watch, the music we choose to listen to, the gossip that we choose to listen to. Inward worship, I think, is the most important form of worship, because it's the form of worship that we cannot fake. Okay? We can't fake that. God is not fooled. He's not fooled by us. We might fool ourselves to make ourselves feel better, but the truth is that inward worship is the one that we need to always be aware of, first and foremost. See, God wants a broken and contrite heart, and he seeks that out. He seeks out those who are committed to him. Without commitment and without a contrite heart, God looks at that worship as sickening. He looks at it as not a good offering at all. In Revelations, he says he spits that out of his mouth. He's disgusted by it. He does not want lukewarm Christians, right? He wants committed Christians, those that are willing to be Christ followers, those that are willing to search his word, learn his word, and worship him in spirit and in truth. The third form of worship is outward worship, and outward worship is the Great Commission. When we go and make disciples, when we go and tell somebody our testimony, when we go and tell somebody how good God is, when we give a tithe or an offering, That's outward. When we serve others, that's outward worship. And another one that's really important is when we live a life in such a way that we don't cause a brother or a sister to stumble, those that are weaker than us. That's outward worship. It's giving respect to God. It's giving respect to Him. It shows our heart of worship and a heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness in honor to what God's done in us. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word worship? Singing, right? Worship's singing songs. Worship's that three songs that we sing before service that if we're late, we don't have to listen to it or participate in it. You know, that's what they do. They get their hymnals out and they sing, and it's a popular song on the radio and everybody's happy. We don't sing songs here, okay? We will never just sing songs here, ever. That's my promise. Because if we start doing just the singing songs, Pastor Carlos is going to end me. End me. We had that conversation early on. I think that was like day two. And it was not a good conversation. I still think about it a little bit. Shiver a little bit. Woo. But, you know, I learned early on from Pastor Carlos that that it is it's a dangerous place for me. It's a danger, you know, as this is a platform. And if I start looking at it as a stage, that's a dangerous place. That's when I start doing this. Start doing the rock star. And that's a dangerous place because that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to lead you in worship of a God that is so holy. We are not of this world. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in spirit and truth is worship that comes from a sincere heart and, say and with me, and matches up with the Word of God. I'm going to repeat that because it is important. Worship comes from a sincere heart and lines up with the Word of God. If we are not worshiping and having songs that are fully in line with Scripture, we are allowing ourselves to mold God into what we want Him to be, right? We're saying, oh, well, this is, you know, He's the God that gives me money. You know, He does. But you know what I'm saying? We have to know God to worship God, right? There's absolutely no honest worship of God without a right knowledge of God. And how do we get a right knowledge? Well, we are drawn to Him by grace, and we study His Word. We come to His throne room by grace, or we don't come at all. We have received the gift of His grace. We have received the gift of His mercy. We have received His forgiveness. Received the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's not an action. It's not a deed. And the important thing to know is that we do not create worship. Okay? I'm not up here creating worship. The musicians that are up here with me do not create worship. We respond to what God has done in our lives. And you respond to what God has done in your life. A lot of churches nowadays, I think we all know, put on really big shows. They put on really big shows with awesome lights. And I asked Pastor Carlos early on for a fog machine. No. No. Didn't get that. I got a talking to. Again. Seriously, strobe lights would have been. We don't have the big lights. We don't have the fog machine. The reason they do that is because they are emulating what's happening in secular music. And what's happening in secular music is the big rock show. So what do you do? Well, we need more people. So if we just entertain the people with a bigger show and lights and on and on and on. That is not what we will do here ever. I can promise you that. See, worship should always reflect what we've received, and worship reflects the attributes of God, His greatness, His tremendous blessings in our lives. It's about God and where He stands on our list of priorities. And God should be the number one on our list of priorities, above all else. God first, life second. Good one. It is. God first, life second. And it's a tough one. We see now that worship isn't just about us, right? Worship's about Him. What we've received. What gift, the free gift we have received in Christ. You know, OSL changed the fabric of this church. Operation Solid Lives, if you don't know what that is our intense discipleship program. 6 levels. Whew. I mean, transformed. It was almost instantaneous. You know, that first class happened, and the next weekend it was just like, oh! Worship went nutty, which is good because people started to gain a right knowledge of God. If we don't know who we are worshiping, then how can we worship? You know, if we're not a church that reads the Word, we are not a church that knows the God on whom we are choosing to worship. Michael Horton, he is a theologian, he is a apologist, and he is also a Calvinist, which is another sermon, He had an amazing quote that I found that just really spoke to me. And it says, vagueness about the object of our praise inevitably leads to making our own praise the object. Praise, therefore, becomes an end in itself, and we are caught up in our own worship experience rather than the God whose character and acts are the only proper focus. A worship experience. I mean, yeah, we have a worship experience here. I mean, it's no denying that. But our own praise should not be the experience. The listening to music should not be the experience. I've been playing music and singing since I was a little kid. I mean, as soon as sound came out of my mouth, it was, let's make a melody. I've been playing guitar for, I've been breaking strings for like 34 years. I should be sponsored by now. Seriously. But, I mean, God gave me that just desire for music, to play music, to write music, to just love music. I think all of us have a music story. I think, you know, the songs transfer you back to another time or a memory, and music's powerful. But there is a huge difference between being moved emotionally and being moved spiritually. When we're moved emotionally, it lasts but a second. I'm moved emotionally. I think that's why sometimes, you know, if you're honest with yourself, if you're in here and you're worshiping and, oh, just amazing, it feels so good in here. Oh, Lord, it feels so good. And then you go home and it's gone and you're wondering, where did it go? Where did that feeling go? I want to ask you to maybe inspect on whether you were just moved emotionally by music. And maybe riding the coattails of somebody else's spiritual breakthrough. When you are spiritually moved, you're transformed. You're transformed. I said, Jesus, please, and I was spiritually changed. Spiritually changed. That's the promise of worship, that we'll be spiritually changed. We offer God true worship and invite him to inspect our hearts in worship. So, Lord, please inspect my heart for anything that is not of you. And end it. End it. Right now, end it. Get rid of it. Let me worship you in spirit and truth. His promise is that we get to commune with him through the Holy Spirit. Focusing on God is where that's always going to begin. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The truth is, what we love the most is going to be what we genuinely worship. It's about who or what we love the most. Every choice we make is worship. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Every choice we make, every choice we make is worship, whether we like that or not. And we want to be a church that lives a lifestyle of worship inside this house, outside this house. We want people to know us for the love that we have for the Lord. Want people to say there's something going on here. There's something spiritually happening in this house that I want to be a part of. Because it's real. Because God is moving here. Whether we do this or not, creation is always going to worship God. Right? Even the rocks will cry out. Creation, every part of creation praises God. But it is limited in the way that creation is limited in the way it can worship God. It just is. And by design. God gave us the distinct gift of being able to have intelligent praise. Intelligent praise back and forth. The Psalms are filled with example of God's people declaring the attributes of him in particular ways. Specifically, they praise God for his works, his word, and his worthiness. So if we're wanting to be true worshipers, we always need to look at Scripture. Because rarely will Scripture call us to praise without giving us a reason why. Psalm 106:1, we talked about it earlier. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Right? His love endures forever. That's why we give him praise. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. We give God the glory he deserves. You know, just in the gift of Christ on the cross, we have an eternity worth of praise. Just that alone. Because we could take all of us and just put us up there. That sacrificial gift that we were given of Christ on a cross. Pastor Carlos does what he likes to call dropout worship a lot. And I love it. I'll always say that one of my favorite voices in here is Pastor Carlos. Because it's pure. Because he's worshiping. He's worshiping. And I know when he's worshiping that the Spirit is moving. And what I mean by dropout worship is, you know, we're sitting here singing, how great is our God, how great is our God. And he's there saying, you're great because of this, 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 and this, and some more of this, and a little bit of this, and a lot of this. When it says sing to the Lord a new song, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about that song that comes from your heart that isn't somebody else's words, but it's your words saying, God, you're great because of this, because of what you've done in my life. What I've witnessed, Lord, this is how awesome you are. Yes, God is great, but can we thank him for giving us his word, his living, breathing word of God that reveals his plans, his promises, and reveals his love for us? He's awesome. He's so awesome that he made a universe that is not even comprehensible. Like, it's, yeah. We don't even, we'll never even get there someday. That'll be one of my first questions. Like, you want to show me around? Bro, I want the tour, you know? I want the tour. And I can imagine he'll be like, oh, I'm so happy I get to show you this. Like, you thought that was good? Oh, you just wait. You wait what I have in store for you. That's good right there. He's powerful. He's so powerful that he changes the course of planets. He moves everything in perfect design. He can take weather systems and move them to the other side of the world. And amazing. So powerful. He's exalted and holy, exalted above all of creation. So amazing. And so holy that we can see the perfect gift of Jesus on the cross. His power, his compassion, his righteousness, his wisdom, most of all, his love. And that's what we respond to in worship. And we respond in action. We respond in action. We can sing the song, I exalt thee. And we can just sing it, or we can exalt thee, right? I gave the example earlier. It's like, I can't walk into my house and walk up past my wife and go, hey, baby, I hug thee. Doesn't work that way, right? Not in there. Yeah, it doesn't work. I put thee on the couch. You know? Not going to work. We have to be worshipers of in action, right? Right? And not just in here, but on the outside of this house. We raise our hands in response to God's goodness. We raise our hands to be embraced by the Heavenly Father. We raise our hand because he has unmatched and unfailing attributes. Every time I think of this, I think of my son. I think of my son. And any time he comes up to me, now that he does the baby waddle, he just goes, Dada. He just waits, Dada. It's because he wants to be held by his father, right? He wants to be embraced by Daddy. He trusts me. He loves me. I am his comfort. And he raises his hand because he loves me, but also because he knows that I, his father, loves him. Right? It's exactly what God's all about. We raise our hands to him because, Lord, I trust you. Take my life. I don't care what I look like right now. I need comfort. I need you to embrace me. And he's waiting there like a good father saying, I've been waiting. I love you so much. Come to Daddy. And in that moment, he embraces us and lifts us up. And we respond to that. We respond to that. And you can feel it when it happens. Oh, my goodness. Boy, when we raise the hands up and God just says, yep, I've been waiting for this. Oh, I've been waiting for this. And he just scoops this congregation up. And the way he moves. I could stay in that moment forever. I could just stay in that moment. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I know that everybody doesn't have the the passion to sing. God gave me that passion to sing. I play guitar and I sing every day. I have no feeling in my fingertips anymore. God's just, they've been molded. It's like God's, you know, I can mold them in weird shapes. That's my sign of my love for that instrument. But I know that everybody doesn't like to sing. You feel like you don't have a voice, or your voice doesn't sound good. I am going to challenge this church over and over again that it doesn't matter. Who cares? If your heart's right, God doesn't care if you're singing in tune or out of tune. He wants you to be in tune here in your heart. And if you're in tune there, it's a beautiful sound to him. Right? Some of the most beautiful voices in the world are a clanging gong to God. He is not impressed. He gave you the voice, right? There's over 400 plus verses in Scripture that reference singing. So what does that tell you? It's important to God, right? Because I know that he wouldn't put something in his word that was false, right? It's infallible. So if there's 400 plus scriptures about singing, it must mean he likes the singing. That makes me happy. Did you know that we have a God who sings? We have a God who sings. It's a beautiful thought. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with his love. He will calm your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful singing. The Lord rejoices over us with joyful singing. It's like the mom that puts her baby to sleep. My wife was here last service, and during our nighttime ritual with little Graham, you know, once he gets out of the bathtub, he gets all wrapped up in his little blanket, and Mama just walks with him and sings Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Completely out of tune. Don't tell her I told you that. As a musician, I'm like, come on. Like, you're modulating right there. How are you doing? And you know what? That kid just, like, I could be like, oh, I'm going to sing you a nice song, Graham. It's perfectly in tune. He just looks at me like, whatever. She's like, twinkle, twinkle, little. And he's like, oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Right? Because she rejoices over him with singing. With joyful singing. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. The most beautiful thing in the world to watch. He's just like, ah. Oh. And that's how we should be. He rejoices over us with singing. Rejoices over us with singing. This makes me so happy to know that we have a God who sings. It's a beautiful thing. I want to close with this. Even though our voices, you know, if you feel like your voice isn't great, your voice has been redeemed. It's been redeemed through Jesus. By the time it gets to God, it's auto-tuned and beautiful because it comes from a beautiful heart. And if our heart's right, and if it lines up with Scripture, sincere heart, and lines up with the Word of God, it is a beautiful, fragrant offering. And the Lord just, thank you. He surrounds himself with singing. It's been happening since the beginning of time. You know, first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, us. Right? Not in the beginning, Adam. In the beginning, God. We don't need to go any further. It's about him. Always will be. Our question should never be here, do I have a voice or can I sing? Okay? Our question here as a congregation is always going to be, do I have a song? Right? Do I have a song? I have a song. I have a song. I have a new song every day. Every day, because the Lord is good every day, whether I see it or not. He's putting good things in motion. He's put so many good things in motion that it almost feels bad when I'm in a bad mood because, my goodness, he's so good. I've been clean and sober almost 14 years. He's good, man. He's good, right? I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful baby boy. Oh, but that guy looked at me wrong. I hate my life. Now,
We worship God because of what we've received. And we're always going to sing a new song here, and we're just going to keep pushing forward. So next Friday night, we're all going to show up, and we're going to gather as, you know, our three services, and we're going to come together as a family, and we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and we're going to give Him the honor He deserves. Amen?
Amen.
All right.